Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I don't bother to say any of them because I don't drink as much as you, so I don't think that they're as funny. But there's one of those internet memes, and there's only so many of them now, those internet memes. They've come round again. I don't like the ones when it's just like someone doing something and it's like, me when my wife there. But there's one which is a woman thinking, why do I sit around all day worrying that my husband will find a better wife than me? And then it shows him rummaging in drawers when he can't find anything. Every time.
It's funny.
Did you get that gag and laugh on the, we could use it for podcasts. The wife laughs, we're away. So look, fasting, have you got the fasting story?
Yep, it's here. Fasting.
Fasting which we've done. Look, fasting which we the Corans do, right?
Yeah.
Probably how long? 2 years?
Dunno, yeah, probably on and off, yeah.
You cook dinner early. Sorry, I do. When we both cook dinner early, and we eat at about 6:30, which is decent, and we push through 16 hours till about 10:30.
11 o'clock. I don't eat between 7 p.m. and 11 a.m. the next day. Fine. And it's hard work, but it does work.
And we believe that it works. It
does work.
I see myself not getting any thinner, but worrying about how fat I would be if I didn't do it.
Exactly.
We believe in...
It's very slightly anti-dragon pills, right? Like, there are no dragons, so I've got these anti-dragon pills.
You mean a bit like elephants painting their feet yellow?
Okay. What's that?
Why do elephants paint their feet yellow?
I don't know.
What planet are you from? Oh. To hide upside down in custard.
Oh, right, yes.
Have you ever seen an elephant hiding upside down in custard?
No, I never have.
Shows what a good disguise it is.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. And it's the same with all sorts of things. Like, you know, like I paint my face every night with like retinol, which is vitamin A extract. That banging noise you can hear, by the way, we've got some carpenters in doing a bit of work, so sorry about that. I paint my face every night in retinol, which is a vitamin A extract, which promises to, you know, turnover, cell renewal, you know, everyone's at it, right? And I don't know if it works. Because I've got no idea what my face would look like if I
didn't. Tutankhamun. I don't know. No, I know. It's a similar sort of thing. I'm tempted to find out what would happen if I never brushed my teeth, to be honest. Mm. Just all the things you could not do. Didn't bother to wipe my bum.
Exactly.
Would it be like a non-dig garden?
But the thing is that over the summer, I can't do my fasting and my beauty regime sort of falls by the wayside. And so I know that after 6 to 8 weeks of not doing any of that, it is visibly bad.
But we also believe, and bear in mind that you and I are sort of centrist mum and dad, a little bit right wing, quite kind of, we're not into the woo-woo. We drink booze and we eat meat and
all that
kind of stuff. But we believe in all that microbiome stuff. So we also, I believe this business of 16 hours of leaving your gut sort of heal itself and the good bacteria.
Mm-hmm. And I've just been reading a book by Claire Foge. It's not out yet. It's called The Paleo Life, which is all about how our brains are still hunter-gatherers and all the other advancements in our life basically wrecked that kind
My
of
My body's
equilibrium.
Still hunter-gatherer.
So she goes through how, you know, we are programmed to live a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, and fasting is a big part of that. And then there's all sorts of science behind it, like, you know, my friend Farazan, who's a scientist who lives in America, she told me all about autophagia, which does sound like something that's been made up, but apparently it's a real thing where each individual cell needs a break from digesting stuff in order to do a bit of kind of internal housekeeping, sort of vacuuming and dusting and sort of shoving out kind of dead matter. And if you don't do that, so the theory goes, that leads on to cancer.
Sounds like the name of someone on Love Island. Hi, my name's Autophagia. So, and this is this sort of, it's our fundamental thing. If we don't do everything else, we know we should drink less, we try.
Yeah.
We know we should eat fewer carbs, we don't eat the UPFs, the ultra-processed foods.
That's right.
Almost that stuff, we mostly cook. But then the sort of, those things can fall down and we can end up eating a lot of pizza and burgers and drinking loads of booze.
Absolutely.
But we
not after 7 o'clock.
But it means that that's the thing we have in place. It's the good thing. And now there's this report that says it's bad.
It's very annoying. But what the media like loves to do is crap all over fashionable diets.
The thing they've been telling you to do in the Times for 5 years.
Yeah. Every Saturday in the Times it says, fast, 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 eat legumes and brown rice, you know, do press ups, do a plank or whatever. And then on Monday morning they go, haha, fuck you, it's all wrong.
It's the diet that the fashion crowd is into.
Exactly. And the every newspaper in the world celebrated the day that it turned out that Atkins
was bullshit. Or Atkins died. Atkins had a heart attack and they put out the bunting. But look, there is this sequence we know about, which is like in the 1950s, high cholesterol, falsely identified with fatty food in diet by American scientists. Once they'd gone down that rabbit hole, got the government money, big margarine got on hold of it, and they managed to phase out butter and eggs and milk and all these things. And people were enslaved to that philosophy for ages.
Ages.
Decades. Yeah. Ruined my dad's life, really, having to eat all that flora margarine.
Olivia.
Didn't eat an egg after the age of 50. And, you know,
miserable.
Fucking miserable. And then we've overturned that. We've overturned these various things. And we've got to a position where I felt, yes, of course, fasting is obviously the thing. Ha, 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 to all those people who said, breakfast like a king, lunch like a lord,
exactly.
You know? And now, what does it say? What is it going to do to us if we fast?
Fasting linked to increased risk from heart attacks and stroke.
That's what it's going to do to us.
So it is, although it hasn't actually proved causality, it's only proved, like so many of these fucking studies, you know, they go, ooh, this has happened, but we can't prove that it's because of the fasting.
People who indulge in this activity sometimes die.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't quite say why. It's the same with smoking.
The researchers stressed that the results must be treated with caution, as this kind of study cannot prove cause and effect. So they studied a whole load of people in America for a long time, like 8 years. Don't all Americans just die from heart attacks and stroke?
Well, for example, the kind of people who will try some desperate fasting remedy are probably fat bastards who need to lose weight, right?
And maybe, and it really does. I mean, fasting doesn't mean you can eat whatever you like in the 8-hour window. You still have to eat the chickpeas and the, you know, drink the water and run up and down stairs every now and again. You know, it's not just like, there you go, that's that sorted.
I come off my fast, if I'm at work, in my office, on fruit, because fruit is what's available free in the kind of fourth floor kitchen. So I then eat a couple of satsumas, banana and apple, which I never normally bother with because fruit's boring and for lame people.
And also but, makes you look like a chimpanzee.
What, just quickly eating some fruit? You mean me personally?
Yes.
You mean I look, what? You mean I look like a chimpanzee when
I eat
fruit?
You have a faintly simian air about you, and it only struck me that you look like a sort of young gorilla when I see you eating a banana.
What?
There's something inherently sort of chimpanzee-like about you, but particularly when you're eating fruit.
Fuck you. Well, anyway, and my point was that these fasters are probably just stopping eating burgers and deep pan pizzas of Coca-Cola for 16 hours, and that's not doing any good to them. Well, could one take that in the direction of a column? Turns out fasting is bad. To be honest, it's the same column you do with the old, is wine good for you or not? One week it's
so annoying. Good, that one. The red wine thing is so irritating.
But that's obvious. That's just like a known trope. That's like hilariously shit.
So, is there a column in there?
No. Let's do something.
Okay.
We have funny things to talk about and we don't want to give Neil too much to edit. Thoughts?
I think it's maybe time to move on to your main story.
No.
Oh, okay.
Holding back on that, the new James Bond. He's slightly denied it, so I'm not sure.
You want to do the intimacy coordinator?
Do you not want to do that
yet?
Well,
not really, because I, as you know, I find your dissing of our sex life quite
annoying. I'm not
going to
diss our sex life. There's an intimacy coordinator. Listen, what's his name? The actor with the big penis. What's he called? Ewan McGregor.
Has he got a big
famously,
penis?
Famously, hasn't he? He got it out in some play. Isn't he the one that they all talk about his dong? I think it is. Pretty sure. If you Google Ewan McGregor penis, you just get Ewan McGregor penis. Okay, will it send me a photo? I don't want a photo. Ewan McGregor penis movie scenes, full frontal. Colin Farrell, Ewan McGregor isn't proud enough of his hung penis. It's no secret, says IMDb, that Ewan McGregor isn't afraid to bear it on the screen. In fact, his penis has appeared in films such as Young Adam, Trainspotting, the Pillow Book and I Love You, Philip Morris, to name a few. And if you've seen one of the aforementioned full frontal scenes, then you're well aware that the 43-year-old, as he was then, he's now 52, so it'll be even longer because of gravity and age, I can reveal, that the 43-year-old is well endowed. A fact which Colin Farrell had no trouble pointing out in a recent interview with Nylon magazine. I don't think Ewan is as proud of his penis as most men who are as well hung would or should be, he joked.
How he's managed to pull Mary Elizabeth
Winstead.
She's
13 years younger than him, I think.
She's very hot. And they appear together in a new film, A Gentleman in Moscow, which I'm very excited about because I loved that.
And they've hired an intimacy coordinator, which is someone who you have to have on set when people are having sex in a film so that the woman can't later claim to have been, like,
I don't think
coerced.
That is their only job, but that is, I think, maybe part of the job.
And
yeah.
So basically, they've got this. So obviously, they're married. So she wants to make sure he doesn't try and have sex with her,
right.
Which is what you're. Which and also, she's probably. I mean, you speak as you know. She's probably quite bored of his big penis now. It was probably really exciting when they got together. You thought, well, Ewan's got this huge cock, and then like a year in, she's going right.
Going right. No, enough of that.
Enough of that. And so I just thought, you see, it's a good subject.
Yeah, I've had enough of that, Ewan. Just go away.
Just put it away.
I'm not interested. It's annoying now. Stop it. Yeah.
Look, darling, look. And
well, the things that attract you to a person initially end up being the most annoying thing about them, usually.
The fact that I'm rich and funny is now boring.
No, it was your kind of like, it was your kind of sort of, what was that? I can't even remember.
No, fuck off then. I can't even remember what it could have possibly been. But whatever it was, it's now irritating. Fucking hell. So they've got an intimacy coordinator, which is sort of intimately funny. I thought there's a joke in there somewhere about, you know, we got an intimacy coordinator into our home,
mm-hmm.
But after 3 months they left because they were depressed because there was nothing for them to do. You know? I thought we could segue that quite nicely into the story in No Sex Please, We're Japanese and Married. Almost half of Japanese married couples do not have sex.
But I love the fact that they're totally honest about it.
A survey has found leading to screams of misery from men who are being turned down by the wives. 48% of Japanese couples never have sex, which to me said 52% of Japanese couples sometimes do have sex. Who are these sex-crazed lunatics? Who are these women who are prepared to occasionally do it with their husbands?
That's funny.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How about commercial rivals cry foul as BBC Radio plans adverts?
Yes. I don't mind that. You pulled that one out. Tell me about that.
So this is a story from Alex Farber, who was our media correspondent. Morning, Alex. The BBC is planning to feature adverts around its audio output in the UK for the first time in a move that has dismayed commercial rivals. Commercial rivals, obviously.
Including Times Radio.
Yes.
So you'd like to point out that anything mean I say about the BBC is because I fucking hate them. No, it's not. It's just because I'm employed by an independent radio station and the BBC is marvellous.
So they are working on proposals to introduce ads around its podcasts and on-demand radio shows when they are streamed via third-party service such as Apple or Spotify. So that basically means you're not going to get adverts in the middle of the Today programme, don't worry, but the joke is still there.
It's got to be quite nice to have adverts in the middle of the Today programme, wouldn't it?
Why?
Just when Nick Robinson's wanging on about Man United or something, just go to, I'm loving it. That's Dexter Fletcher.
Dexter doing, just busting in, going...
with his burgers.
Okay, get down to McDonald's now. 3 for 2 on the Big Mac.
That's what Times Radio... Times Radio didn't... not having ads is this kind of blue chip thing, and the Times Radio managed it for a while, and it was pucker. But in the end, you do have to pay for things, and Times Radio buckled...
And commercial radio are unbelievably envious of the fact that the BBC doesn't have to have adverts.
But we did for a bit, and then we had... And now you hear some snooty old-fashioned... Times readers complaining that Times Radio is full of that ghastly man doing McDonald's ads, who is our good mate. And whenever I hear Dexter go, to all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions and a sesame seed bun. Anyway, I would rather listen to Dexter telling me what's in a fillet of fish than Nick Robinson tossing on about the election. But that aside, it is funny that the BBC... Your thought was...
Oh, yeah, what...
What ads? What do you advertise to people who aren't prepared to pay for their media?
So it's kind of making fun of ourselves as well as everything else.
Well, you've got to characterise the BBC in some way special, which is like sort of waterproof pants, you know, grown-up nappies, you know, because they're such fed wetters about everything. Is that...
Sort of nightgowns, sort of those wee willy winky nightgowns.
Well, you've got to be careful because you know that chunk of 48 pages of ads in the middle of the weekend section,
yes,
of the Times?
Which are utterly hilarious.
Always, yeah. A really handsome, blatant shagger of about 34 in a wee willy winky nightgown. And you're thinking, no, that isn't who... The only person I know who wears a nightgown is my mother's partner.
Yes.
Who's a wonderful, delightful 86-year-old... Old Etonian.
Who goes to bed dressed as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who goes to bed dressed as Ebenezer Scrooge. And I also, thinking about the aforementioned, you know, I'm thinking of Ian McGregor wearing one of those. Or indeed myself.
Ian McGregor. To wear the single... Ian McGregor, you're the deputy editor of the Evening Standard.
Ewan McGregor, right. I don't want to draw pictures, or perhaps I do, but I feel that if I wore a well-ironed sheet hanging from my shoulders down to my toes, there is a point at which it would stick out. Mm-hmm. Even just on a normal day, let alone if something exciting, let alone if you came in.
Right, that's why you have
How would you hide your enthusiasm?
The idea for this is making fun of BBC, core BBC listenership by saying what kind of adverts the BBC would run.
Well, the BBC has a product made by... and essentially for middle-aged, privately educated Oxbridge white people, trying to turn itself desperately into a thing for cool young kids of all races and genders. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that with a thing that's too big. So the Times can relax about who its listeners and who its readers are, and the Guardian and everyone else. But the BBC is trying to turn it around. So the BBC would probably advertise, that's some wicked stuff, which is, you know what I'm saying, going down at the thing.
Yeah, McDonald's. Know.
McDonald's. Well, no, because whatever Times Radio thinks we are, fact is that people who listen to it want to be some McDonald's.
The fact is that you're quite right, and that's why the piece isn't going to work, because it's not true and therefore not funny. Because what the BBC, if they want to capture a young audience, and I don't really understand that, because it's kind of like your audience isn't aging, because people age into listening to the BBC.
This is what I'm saying with the BBC. There'll be a sort of funny thing to be said about the fact that the ads they would want to put on it, because we've talked about that before, how particularly people of colour are underrepresented in films, for example, but when you go to the cinema, every single ad has families
mixed up
all these different colours.
Yeah.
Because the easiest thing for an advertising company to do, whose board of directors, billionaire directors, is exclusively white and does nothing, is to put black people in the ads so it looks as if they're promoting a diversity which has no effect on their life. Yeah. And that's sort of what the BBC wants to do. Mm. It will try to advertise. So all its listeners are sitting there sort of with a cup of tea, listening to the radio, hoping for an advert for a new kind of incontinence pad. And then what the BBC will actually say is, the new
Greg's,
Stormzy's got some things going down at the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he's obviously still
I think that's a mind bend that it's a little too
funny. Is still the GB News warning then, staying with local news broadcasting. The GB News got a warning this week from Ofcom for on impartiality rules for having shows presented by MPs, sitting MPs. Mm-hmm. Right, they had at least two shows presented by sitting MPs. And it's a bit nuts because
GB News has never claimed to be impartial.
No, well, this is so the impartiality exists obviously for the BBC and broadcasters. Yeah. And there are rules even on Times Radio, like on a day of a by-election or any kind of election, you can't talk about it because it could affect policy and stuff like that. It could affect voting patterns, sorry. And anyway, but their problem was when one of these shows, there was a Jacob Rees-Mogg was presenting a show, and then he had to announce a news. He had to read a news item that came through, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was some sort of death or something, and he had to announce. And they said this is an example of you don't want to have MPs doing this.
And this somehow violates impartiality.
Apparently,
rules.
It does. And I thought, what about a TV schedule presented only by MPs?
Oh my god!
So I then thought you could then imagine a.
Oh, that's a very good shakedown.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So it's like Matt Hancock presenting Love Island,
Rishi Sunak presenting How Clean Is Your House?
Yes, exactly. You would have someone like Jeremy Corbyn as Doctor Who. You know,
that's fun. Yeah, that's really fun.
Suella Braverman could do the weakest link in the sort of Anne Robinson thing.
Yeah, that would be good.
Go home.
But Suella Braverman would just be on GB News.
You are an illegal immigrant. Go home.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What would Gove present though? What's funny about? I mean, like.
Well, teachers all hate Gove, don't they? So it would,
good point.
Literally just be
Great Chill.
Great.
You'd have to have
this is
Gove,
great.
Miss McCluskey, with Michael Gove as Miss McCluskey.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's fun. That's really fun.
The thing I'm most excited about, however, is the strong rumour that, what's his name? Aaron Taylor Johnson, is that his name?
Aaron. Oh, I would say Aaron. I don't know. Aaron,
how do you
Aaron.
Spell it?
Well, I think it's A-A-R-O-N.
Oh, I call him Aaron.
Aaron.
Keep your Aaron, Moses.
Right.
That one.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Taylor Johnson is to be the new Bond.
Well, it's a big rumour, isn't it?
Tuesday, it was reported like it was going to happen.
Well, David Sanderson sounded very convinced on the matter.
He did. Mm. And then today, Wednesday, there's a sort of thing where Aaron Taylor Johnson has been giving an interview about, he's apparently
speaking in quite gnomic terms.
He's in the new Spider-Man.
Sounding a little bit like Russell Brand, the way he talks.
But he's in the new Spider-Man movie, and he's saying something about don't want to be typecast in action movies, because that's Spider-Man. But it's $150 million a show, isn't it?
Is it for James Bond?
Yeah.
Ooh, look
particularly
what they make you
relevant
do, though.
When I make this point that Aaron Taylor Johnson, who looks 90% sure to become James Bond, will be the first. They didn't get their black Bond. They didn't get their
Chinese.
Female Bond. They didn't get their gay Bond. They got their Jewish Bond.
He's never Jewish.
Aaron Taylor Johnson is Jewish.
I don't believe you.
I believe 100%. What do you mean you don't believe me?
He's not.
I'm going to go to Jewipedia. Johnson Wikipedia. Aaron Perry Johnson was born in High Wycombe on the 13th of June 1990. His father, Robert, was a civil engineer, and his mother, Sarah, what do you want to know, stayed at home and worked odd jobs. But he has a sister named Gemma, who later had a small role in there. Johnson is Jewish.
It's
got a note retrieved 9th of August 2015. He liked it recently when someone said he resembled a fashionable Hasidic Jew.
What?
That was nice because I have really curly hair. And I'm also Jewish.
Oh, okay, fine. So
he explains. No, that's the game they were playing, Hipster or Hasid. You know about that?
Oh, that's
you don't
a great
know about
game.
In New York. Photos in New York about 10 years ago, Hipster or Hasid. Big stupid hat, crappy haircut, funny facial hair, long black clothes, waistcoat.
Okay,
Hipster or Hasid.
I feel like I would get that.
Did you miss that
game right? Yeah, I did miss Hipster or Hasid.
Well, it's like when Tom Hardy, your at his most hot, when he played the Jew in Peaky Blinders.
That's right.
Anyway, so look, it's basically, I would do a column about the Jewish Bond. I've done them before. I've done a wealthy James Bond. I've done them over the years.
You've
I've done,
done
two
loads
or three.
Of James Bond.
Don't You've say
done...
loads because it makes it sound derivative and shit.
No, but it's a running gag.
I do these different Bonds.
But it's also a generational running gag because your dad did old James Bond.
Yes, exactly. He did old James Bond. Bond tensed in the dark and reached for his teeth. That's the most famous line he wrote.
But also the thing is, it never, it doesn't get old, because James Bond is just simply such a running gag, like Boaty McBoatface, that there's, you know, the more you say it, the
and also I get to be racist. So I couldn't do. I'm not available. I'm not here for. If they did announce Idris Elba, I'm not here to make jokes about the black Bond. Am I?
No,
that's not my job.
No.
But the Jewish Bond I can do. Do you expect me to talk, Goldfinger? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to kvetch. For example, yes, that, you know.
Goldfinger.
You're a relative. Oh, we must be related.
Yes. What's the Moishe Goldfinger? Oh, we were at school together.
Are you from the Boreham Wood Goldfingers?
Oh, are you? Yeah, exactly. Brilliant.
The name's
brilliant.
Bond. Trained from Bondstein.
Bond. Yeah, yeah. Bondstein.
The name is Bond. Jaime Bond. you would work this into a script.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a bartender going martini, Mr. Bond. No Diet Coke. No ice. It hurts my teeth. That's Danny Finkelstein. Lives on Diet Coke.
And then he gets a voicemail from his mum. James, it's mummy.
Yeah.
When are you back? When are you back from Ukraine? I'm going to let myself in and I'm going to leave you a creme brulee and your shirts, okay? Is there anything you want me to do? Call me back. Bye.
it tickles you very much. I'm thinking something more hard-edged, like, for example, a Jew to a kill.
Very nice.
What's on the chief rabbi's secret service. I like the scene where, the man with the golden watch. It's not real gold, but it looks as, you know.
I've got one in the safe.
I've
got a double. How about something about the girls? Because James...
Or the man with the golden gun, yours for £100.
The James Bond treats girls in a way that a no Jew would dream of treating a woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's something like, Mish Moneypenny, can I?
So that's
can I woo you over a number of thousand years with very expensive dinners and compliments?
And then marry and you then, and then 14 you, children. who I can all put into my massive Bond Volvo.
Volvo. Oh my god, oh, yeah. I forgot
no,
about
no, the
car.
No, it's when Bondstein gets shown around, he goes to see M, Q comes in, but it's whatever the Hebrew character for Q is, shows him the new, he's got him a Volvo,
yeah.
and Bond's going, is it safe? And he goes, yes, it's got these special airbags.
Safety
and so
features.
So Q just shows him the safety features, basically.
Yeah.
It's
but will the lights go on every time I start the car?
Yeah.
And stuff about he needs a cup holder for his something, whatever it is.
Some hot Jewish drink. For his chicken soup. I mean, really?
Yes!
It's got a hidden chicken. It's got a rocket launcher that fires matzo balls. It's the Knedlach dispenser.
So James Bond is.
How about James Bond? James Bond checks into some super flash hotel in sort of Macau, where you know, thing. He phones down to reception. There's a draft.
I don't like. Can I just look at the other rooms available?
It says here that you've got to 7 available anti-allergic pillow choices. I can only find 4.
4 Yeah, great anti-allergy pillows at the Schbronzi Hotel.
Yeah.
And also, maybe can I change rooms? And I don't like this table and stuff like that. Like, that's you. That's you, that is.
I
you walk into a restaurant
I'm
and
very
go,
Jewish.
I don't like
I
this.
I am the Jewish James Bond. And if they don't give me a change of room, I kill them.
So what else?
He's concerned that everybody he kills has to be buried within 24 hours.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. That's very good. No, I love that.
Do you? And then, what are the titles we might be missing?
Oh, you've got loads there.
Yeah, but there must be more. What are the other famous ones?
Octopussy.
Dr. No, he's very good. He's not the best, but it's Thunderball. What's Thunderball?
I don't know, but Octopussy is very trafey.
Octopussy, Schmoctopussy.
Yeah, Schmoctopussy.
Schmunderball.
I'm really bad at puns and also headlines, so I'm not your girl for this one. But it sounds like you're on a roll there.
Yeah. Can we just end on this one, which I rather like? They're introducing driving tests for prison inmates, right? You prove you weren't allowed to. You're going to be allowed to do your driving test in prison or your theory test, and they're going to set it up. But they said, am I going to read? I'm not going to probably bother to read the story. It's page 19. I might as well give the actual story in case, lest you don't believe me. Driving theory course to point prisoners in the right direction. Prisoners will be allowed to take driving theory courses while behind bars using specially designed laptops. I thought about driving tests for prisoners. which will include such tests as getaway driving.
Right, yes,
first,
okay.
You know,
ram raiding jewellers.
Nicking your car.
Steal
your car.
Yeah.
Forging a V5 document.
Yes.
Respraying, replacing the plates, ramming a cash point, as you said, bundling kidnap victims into the back.
Neil loves it.
I know, it's great, isn't it? Sort of hit and run.
Filling the tyres with drugs.
Exactly. Or the thing is, imagine when I hit the dashboard, drive away at speed as if you just hit a pedestrian.
This is good. I wonder if this is not a notebook, though.
It's probably a notebook for next week. There's also a thing where people will get very upset about the fact that I am suggesting
being
people
in
prison might commit crimes.
Yes, exactly. When we all know that actually...
They're all in it, but they're all innocent.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.